Good morning. This morning's reading is Ruth chapter 4. Boaz marries Ruth. Meanwhile, Boaz went up to the town gate and sat there. When the kinsman redeemer he had mentioned came along, Boaz said, "Come over here, my friend, and sit down." So he went over and sat down. Boaz took 10 of the elders of the town and said, "Sit here," and they did so. Then he said to the kinsman redeemer, "Naomi, who has come back from Moab, is selling the piece of land that belonged to our brother Elimelech. I thought I should bring the matter to your attention and suggest that you buy it in the presence of these seated here and in the presence of the elders of my people. If you will redeem it, do so. But if you will not, tell me, so that I will know. For no one has the right to do it except you, and I am next in line." "I will redeem it," he said. Then Boaz said, "On the day you buy the land from Naomi and from Ruth the Moabitess, you acquire the dead man's widow, in order to maintain the name of the dead with this property." At this, the kinsman redeemer said, "Then I cannot redeem it, because I might endanger my own estate. You redeem it yourself, I cannot do it." Now in earlier times in Israel, for the redemption and transfer of property to become final, one party took off his sandal and gave it to the other. This was the method of legalizing transactions in Israel. So the kinsman redeemer said to Boaz, "Buy it yourself," and he removed his sandal. Then Boaz announced to the elders and all the people, "Today you are witnesses that I have bought from Naomi all the property of Elimelech, Chilion and Mahlon. I have also acquired Ruth the Moabitess, Mahlon's widow, as my wife, in order to maintain the name of the dead with this property, so that his name will not disappear from among his family or from the town records. Today you are witnesses." Then the elders and all those at the gate said, "We are witnesses. May the Lord make the woman who is coming into your home like Rachel and Leah, who together built up the house of Israel. May you have standing in Ephrathah and be famous in Bethlehem. Through the offspring the Lord gives you, by this young woman, may your family be like that of Perez, for whom Tamar bore to Judah." So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. Then he went to her, and the Lord enabled her to conceive, and she gave birth to a son. The woman said to Naomi, "Praise be to the Lord, who this day has not left you without a kinsman redeemer. May he become famous throughout Israel. He will renew your life and sustain you in your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you and who is better to you than 7 sons, has given him birth." Then Naomi took the child, laid him in her lap, and cared for him. The women living there said, "Naomi has a son," and they named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David. This then is the family line of Perez. Perez was the father of Hezron. Hezron the father of Ram. Ram the father of Amminadab. Amminadab the father of Nahshon. Nahshon the father of Salmon. Salmon, the father of Boaz, Boaz, the father of Obed, Obed, the father of Jesse, and Jesse, the father of David. May the Lord bless the reading to us this morning.
If I unmute myself, it'll go a lot better. There we go. Thanks for that reading, Ed. I can just imagine when Naomi and her family left for Moab originally, they must have had this excitement that once the famine had passed, that they would be able to return triumphantly to Jerusalem. Well, to Judah at any rate. And I think to myself, wow, that must have been one incredibly difficult thing for her to experience. Because when Naomi returned to Judah, she had less than what she had when they had left for Moab. In Ruth 1 verse 21, Naomi describes herself as empty. She says she has no family. She's destitute. She has nothing. No husband, no son, no money, nothing to offer her daughters-in-law, and so enables. So, she, what does she do? She's got nothing. So, what does she do? She encourages them to go back to their parents or their people. And Orpah went back. But Ruth said, no, I'm staying with you. Now, when Ruth said that to Naomi, she was exercising a very godly principle, because she was looking after her widowed mother-in-law. She herself had been widowed herself. But there must have been an absolute godliness about Naomi that attracted Ruth to her to say, no, it's okay, I'm going with you. And what happens when, you know, we all get down at times. We all have disappointments. This is what it's all about. We have these disappointments. But if we start reaching out to one another, amazing, amazing things happen. So let's carry on with the story. Now, the fact is that Naomi's friends then remarked eventually, as we heard today in Ruth chapter 4, they said, your daughter-in-law is better than seven sons. And I thought about that for a while, and I thought, you know, men were everything in those times, let's be honest. Men had the authority, men had everything. Women had nothing. Seven sons, that's a lot. To be compared to being better than seven sons, I think Ruth must have been a pretty awesome woman in herself as well. And that. Because you know what? When we reach out to others to overcome our pain, our loss, our disappointment, what happens? God steps in. And when He steps in, He starts healing us. He takes away the broken heart. He's the only one who can make the wounded like new. I think Sheila and Joe's stories are really touching. And I can understand that. I too have had experiences in my life where things have not always gone the way I wanted it. But you know what? By putting our hope in Christ, in other words, faith, if we just get to that point of doing everything by faith. This is certainly true with Ruth. As God gave her a kind and godly husband, a baby boy, and placed her in the bloodline of Jesus Christ, she achieved it. She achieved it by doing the right thing. Through faith, she's achieved that. We often focus on so much more than, you know, we focus on the bad things, you know, the bad choices we make, where we've come from, where I grew up, the setbacks we have. These are all the experiences we have. But we can't live life in the past. We can't keep looking back. As a person here, standing here today, I was diagnosed as a dyslexic very late in my life, in my school career. And through hard work and perseverance and really, my mother's guidance, I must admit, my mother, bless her soul, she really did persevere with me, and that. I'm here today. I've achieved things in life that I never thought I would do. Standing here today is one of those, by the way. So. But it's by God's grace. It's by faith. Putting my faith, taking that step of faith. Who knows Nick Wojcicki? The guy, no arms, no legs, no worries. Fantastic guy. My son Anton, it's his favorite guy. He looks up to Nick immensely because he understands Nick, you know, and Nick always says, he says, I don't care how big your step is, but you can only take one step at a time. And it's a step of faith. You know, you can have really, really long legs, like some of the guys. You know, I'm blessed with short legs, so I take small steps. But we can only take one step at a time. You see, when we focused in the past, if we keep looking back, if we stay where this is drawing me back, we're not where God wants us to be. You see, God wants our attention to be focused on Him and where He's taking us. He wants us to look straight ahead because His plan is for us is not in our past. Constantly remind yourself your past mistakes do not help you at all. People who get stuck looking back at the storms that they have weathered don't notice where they are heading. We keep concentrating on the flaws and the faults, and we should be focusing on the greatness of God's plan for us. We are too focused on what the enemy is doing to keep us occupied, and not focusing on what God is doing right now in our lives. Remember the story of Lot and his family. God went and said to them, you must remove yourselves from Sodom. You must flee. And He gave a specific instruction. He said, do not look back. What did Lot's wife do? She disobeyed God. She turned into a pillar of salt. Moral of the story? Don't disobey God. Children of all ages, who knows the story of the Lion King? I love the story of the Lion King. My favorite Walt Disney movie of all times, really. Probably because it plays out in Africa. But you know what? One of the parts that I love the most is when Rafiki and Simba are walking. And Rafiki takes a stick and he gives old Simba a good old whack on the head. And Simba turns around and says, what was that for? He says, what does it matter? It is in the past. And that's the thing. What does it matter? It's in the past. We have to get to that point where we realize it doesn't matter. Our past cannot hold us back. If we give ourselves over to God, He will take us forward. He will take us past that. I can go around the room, I'm sure, today, and I can get loads of examples of people whose lives have been dramatically changed by giving themselves over to the Lord and stepping out in faith. I'm sure I could find, we could probably be here the rest of the day, I'm sure. You see, what happens is when we drop anchor, we choose to stand still and do nothing. Don't drop anchor. God is telling you when He's telling you to open the sails. Don't get stuck in the past. Just remember, like what Rafiki said, what does it matter? It is in the past. We have to focus on the positive. I was very privileged to be involved with communication in the weather research stations that belong to South Africa. I did a 14th month period as the radio engineer on an island called Marion Island. It's about 2,500 nautical miles southwest of Cape Town. It's in the middle of what we call the Roaring Forties, where there is no land mass that actually prevents the wind. No. It's also the Falkland Islands also in the Roaring Forties. They're far more east. But I was going there to do a servicing on the island, and a fault occurred on Gough Island, and we had to travel from Marion to Gough, which was about 4,000 nautical miles, and halfway through that we hit a South Atlantic storm. And the ship that we were on is an icebreaker, so it was called the S.A. Agulhas. It doesn't have a keel. In other words, it doesn't have a big piece of steel down the bottom that prevents it from rolling so much. It's got a built-in keel. But it does have the effect that the ship rolls a lot more. And eventually the captain said to us, "Guys, I'm sorry, we're going to have to deviate off course. We're going to have to turn into the storm." Because at that stage the waves were about 15 meters high. And we were rolling at about 45 to 45, so about 90 degrees pitch and roll. So you're doing the corkscrew effect. Get real seasick on that one. Mm-hmm. But what we had to do was turn into the storm and ride it out. And that's what we have to do in our lives sometimes. Sometimes God says to us, just turn into the storm and ride it out. Don't put anchor. We couldn't have put anchor. Even if we tried, it's too deep there. The anchor chain wouldn't have been long enough. But we had to have faith in the captain's ability to steer that ship. Who's our captain? Who's our captain? Christ. Christ is our captain. We have to make him our captain to give us that direction. We have to ride out the storm. Don't worry, almost finished. Faith is like the light at the end of the tunnel. Who knows the story of the light at the end of the tunnel? Of course we do. We all love to know that at the end of that deep dark tunnel there is light. There's an opening. There's an exit. And our compass, the compass is there to point us to God. When we are in that difficult time, our faith and the word of the Lord is there as our compass to point us towards God. You know, it's easy to have faith when things are going well. It's a nice, pleasant cruise. We just keep on going. It's lovely. But it's the difficult times occur that we have to stay focused on the future. But our faith in God will always see us through those difficult times. Naomi and Ruth experienced God's faithfulness firsthand. By the end of the story, they've had a very special place in history. God restored Naomi, gave Ruth a kind and godly husband, baby boy, and a place in the bloodline of Christ. Ruth was King David's grandmother. Faith in God reminds me of the boat race between Cambridge and Oxford University. By the way, it's going to be done today, by the way, the famous race. Now, I like watching this. This is really, really interesting to me. But what I like the most is that every single one of those rowers knows where the course is. They know where the start is. They know the whole course, and they know the finish. But none of them can see it, because they've got their backs to it. Where are they looking? Where are the rowers looking? They're looking at the coxswain. The coxswain is the person they have to put their trust in to steer the boat correctly, to give them the right pace at the right time, to navigate the river correctly, and take them to victory. But they have to do their part. Every single rower has to be in perfect synchronization with the person next to him, person behind him. And I think that total faith that they're exercising there is such a good illustration to the faith that we have to put into Jesus. I think Ruth and Naomi did that. And look at the fruits that they were rewarded with. The band can come up. Let's close in prayer. Let's close in prayer. Father God, I thank you for this day. I thank you that you are our compass, Father God. And I thank you that you want us just to keep on rowing, to focus on you. And every time you say stroke, we put in that oar and we pull deep, Father God. So Father God, thank you that we can always rely on you to take us in the right direction. In your precious and mighty name. Amen. Thank you.